been downstairs while you've been going through with your business meeting, trying to get ourselves so that we'd put on a nice, brisk, and crisp panel for you, give you a picture of the old days of boating by the men who actually operated the boats. We're here, of course, trying to have the canal rebuilt to something of its charm, if not its commercial usefulness, of course. We haven't any hope for that. I think that the things that we might bring out tonight will make it a little bit more clear of what is a sensible thing to expect in the way of maintenance. And also, it'll be entertaining, because these men really are picturesque if you let them go. And I'm going to let them go. Now, here goes. You want to use this as this. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll start this panel by introducing the people who take part in it. Now I have a man who is the son of a canal man, and a canal man in his own right. Also, quite a long, faithful, and recent absolute dud as a director of the Delaware Valley Protective Association. I take great honor and pleasure in introducing Bill Singley of Upper Black Eddy. Hi, Bill. Get up here and talk. Come on. Bill says mix. Now it's my great pleasure to try to remember the next gentleman's name. Mr. Frankenfield. Jim. Abram Frankenfield. When did you work on the canal?
From 6 years old until I was 21, I worked with my father.
Uh-huh. After 21.
Then I started work for myself for Mr. Samphill of Point Pleasant.
I knew him.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I worked for him.
How long did you work for him?
3 years.
3 years, huh? Did that finish boating for you?
No, I put in 3 years on river boating, down on the river.
Yeah.
And then I came back, and I put in 10 more years on the canal again. I quit boating in 1915, and then I was off until 1921, and I boated in 21 and 22.
How many years altogether of boating? About 50, 40?
Oh, I would say 33.
33, well, that was certainly a nice long stretch of it, and it didn't hurt you from the look of it. Oh, we've heard from you, haven't we? And we couldn't hear too much from you.
No, I don't think you got it.
We didn't get
John Agnew.
John Agnew. And John started to work on the canal at what ripe old age?
8 years.
Eight, ripe old years of eight. John, tell him what you did on it briefly, because he hasn't got too much.
Well, I have right to say, I started when I was 8 years old, and I boated when I was a young man. I left it for a while, and haven't boated any for the last 15, 20 years. Not all I got to say about the canal now.
Now, here's another man from, seems to me a lot of you live close together up there in Upper Black Eddy. But just let's have your name and when did you start and when did you quit?
Well, I started to boat really about 1900 rather. And I boated right on up till 1909. I run a boat for myself in 1908. I was of age. And in 1909, I run a freight boat from Pier 9, Walnut Street to Easton.
What are the boats?
I never know the cost of a boat. We used to, when I wanted a boat like a young fellow starting out, you asked the Lehigh Coal Navigation Company, which I refer to as the boat agent.
The boat that I understand cost around $2,000.
Well, we rented them so much a ton. They charged for whatever tonnage you hauled, we paid a rental. The Lehigh Company built the barge and kept it in repair. And you paid a rental of so much a ton. But when I run the freight boat, they furnish the boat and the mules and the feed for the mules. And I got $75 a month. And you paid a hand $15 from that.
A
month.
Left you quite a bit.
No, you fed the man, your helper, and gave him, of course, he stayed on the boat with you. But the company, the Leicol Navigation Company, they furnished the boat and the team and the lines and the feed. But you bought your own eats out of your $75 a month that you received and paid a hand $15.
Well, now we have a man that has very justly and nobly won the title of Whiskey John over a period of years. And he's a splendid example of temperance. John, come on, tell him. I want you to give him a little talk on boating and temperance.
Well, I started the boat at this one about 15. Men were drifted through. In other words, an oil borne through them, here, there, and further up, till that they were combined together. And then there was one, a log on the outside, drifted down through it, here and there along from bow to stern.
You all know what's meant by drifting down through,
of course.
Spiking.
In other words, there's a plank and here's one. You want to nail them together, you drive a spike through it to them. At that time, they had no spikes, you didn't use them. They bored and hole through them, there's another plug down there. It wouldn't stick down through there. And the ticks, and they stick, the sticks woven and kept the thing firm.
Well, you just stay right here, but I want to get John up here. John, come on up here. I want you to tell this story. You're telling me about something about three barrels of whiskey downstairs, you remember?
Somebody told you, I don't know who told you.
Oh, no. Well, who told me about those three barrels of whiskey? Oh, you did. He said he did.
Put them stuff onto me.
He did hang it on you downstairs. Well, anyway, what was that again?
When the Lehigh Canal was built, my great-grandfather, owned where Packerton sits now. He kept, at that time, we called it Tyler. They called it Jim or something else.
Well, we call it a lot of things.
When the first boat, now understand, these wasn't larks come down. These were boats that come down then.
Yeah.
When they came down.
Well, we just forget that raft. That raft lay down there in Philadelphia long enough for you to see it. And that connects back to the very earliest transportation.
So
now we're through with the rafts and we're on the boats.
So to treat the boatmen when first come through this canal, that's the Lehigh Canal, before she enters into the Delaware, John P. O'Brien, that was my
boss,
my grandfather, great-grandfather rather, he kept this junk, or gin mill, and he will roll rather, at where the lot four used to be, as a boatman on it. He reeled across to treat them, and he treated them all until the four barrels of whiskey was gone.
Four barrels of whiskey. And a little shot like that over in Lambertville is 65 cents, John.
Well, you'll have to take a half a dozen to get a shot.
Yeah.
Well, if my grandfather's keeping them, tell you, he had a bigger drink than that.
Those were the good old
days.
They
were the good old days.
Can you tell me about the first boat trip that you remember that you were the in charge of the boat and came down?
The first boat trip that I was really in charge of, I was 13 years old.
You had charge, you mean you had complete charge of bringing
a... in charge of a boat, Toledo, one-piece boat, I was in a ship boat, not an engine boat. I was in charge of her when I was 13 years old. At that time, I was the youngest captain was ever on the canal at that time. And my father, Pete Agnew, was the only man at that time that owned two of those SIF boats, one-piece boats.
Mm-hmm.
There's other people owned hinge boats.
Well, did he come along right behind you or go along right in front of you and just let you along?
He just gave me the pocketbook and I went in, I loaded the boat and I went in the waylock and had her wait and he said, go ahead, John.
What, you have one mule or two mules?
I had two.
Two mules, and you had anybody down with you, any man?
I had another boy.
Another boy? How old was he?
Well, he was about 12 years old.
Veterans, because...
Maybe 13.
Uh-huh. And you went all the way down to...
I went to 20th Street.
Philadelphia.
No.
No.
New York. 20th Street, New York.
I thought you went to New York.
New York. At that time, we had good boats, as I call them. We didn't go to Philadelphia.
You certainly had stout boys.
I wonder how I got by them barrels.
At that age? Oh, they didn't see that in that young. Now listen, John. John, now that's another thing. This is aside from canaling the boat, really. But you didn't start that, earn that nickname of yours at 12 or 13. No. That's all right. That relieves me a lot. Now, where do we go? Where do we go from here downstairs? You remember, we got along this far, and how about the days of real heavy traffic on the canal?
Well, at that time, when I was in a boy, there was, to my knowledge, about 300 boats on the canal.
300?
Yeah.
Somebody said 1,000 downstairs.
Well,
that
might have been before me. The canal went before I did. Mm-hmm. At that time, I can name individually 73 people left the same town I do. From Bristol to Easton, I can count up over 100. Mm-hmm. Or near 200. And there was that many on the Lehigh Canal.
Mm-hmm. Each boatman would mean one boat, is that right?
I'd be the boss, the captain. And I'd have a boy or a man with me. There was two men on every boat.
Two men on every boat. Mm-hmm.
You had to have two men, that is, a man and a boy. You could, I had that along with one.
Did you own your outfit? Did you own the mules?
At that time, my father did. Later on, I owned the outfit.
As a general thing, did the boatmen all own their own teams?
At my time, they did.
And what were they paid for a trip from North Chunk down to, or over to New York, rather?
At my time in New York, the highest rate we got then was 72 cents a ton.
72 cents a ton, and what would it amount to for a boatload?
Well, $72. You can naturally try to put 100 ton on the boat.
You get about $72 for your trip.
For your trip.
And what did you make on the way back? Anything?
Well, if you could find somebody that had something to bring back, like clay, these fire brickworks, you would load that. You would, in order, you would make as much on the back load, as we call it, as you would on the trip down.
So I wonder if any of you men here know, there used to be a very, very heavily built woman that came down on a boat. She never seemed to be too particular about which boat she was on. And I saw her for about 5 or 6 years, and she was a mute. Anybody know her at all? John?
Mary Rose.
Huh? Mary
Rose.
Come up here, tell us about her. Go on. Tell us all, John, will you?
Well, she was originally from New Hope, there.
Oh, let's get some more interesting.
Well, she was from New Hope, and she boated with her husband there. Jim Rose, his name was. So, there was another woman on the boat, too, at the same time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The deaf mute?
Yeah. Well, the deaf mute, I was interested in.
But she wasn't the stout one.
Wasn't she?
No.
Well, she pretended to be the day I saw it.
Maybe you're right.
John, tell me about those mules. You had a couple of mules on the canal that you really had a long time. And I remember you telling me about them one day as if you really liked those mules quite a lot. Do you really get to like a mule?
I do.
What for?
I don't know. I guess I was brought up with them.
Most people cuss them out so much, I just wondered.
Well, I cussed them out a lot of times myself.
Well, it's sort of a family feeling, huh?
That's right.
John, you were on the canal when they boated more than 300 boats in.
No, I wasn't, no.
Wasn't your father?
My father was, yeah.
Well, what is the biggest fish? When is the
boat?
When is the canal at its best?
I've heard the figure used here this evening as 2,000.
Well, I heard it was over 3,000.
Just this evening, some of you gentlemen mentioned 2,000 downstairs. Well, that's an accurate figure, or what a 3,000.
But you couldn't prove it by me.
Well, I didn't know that. I never know that. You remember, John, the last Lewisburg books that they built, and the company had built, they were numbered up in the 2,900 or something. Yes, but that didn't, they weren't all in,
weren't all in service at the time.
Right. At that time, or privately owned. See the way that thing started.
Okay, they're off on a little private huddle over there. John, we haven't got a lock tender here. And to a lot of people, or some people here, I know it, they're not familiar with the way the boatmen used to get through a lock. That and the way they used to pass, one boat coming up and one boat going down. Give them a little idea, will you? Now, you're approaching a lock, and how did you signal the lock?
Well, you blow the horn.
Once?
Well, you blow it till you get the lock ready.
How far away?
Well, for this upper lock at New Hope, you would start above the bridge here at Bridge Street. And blow till you see the lock was ready.
Kept on blowing till you saw him move.
That's right.
And then?
When you saw that gate fall, well, you was going in.
What was the rule in passing? I think I know, but I'm not dead sure. Since the boat's coming down the canal, and that's loaded.
That's right.
It's low. And the boat coming up, as I remember, they were usually all pretty high.
That's right.
The water. And the chap coming down, it always seemed to me, let his line drop.
Yeah.
Stopped his mule.
Yeah, he did.
Was that a regular rule?
That's right. If the mules was going themselves, he'd toot the horn, and the guy that was coming up with the empty boat would leave the driver out off the empty boat to stop the fellow that was coming down's mule.
Well, I used to hear some pretty good, pungent conversations on the canal once in a while. Do you ever get into any jam with any other boatman?
Oh, that would happen once in a while.
How would that happen, John? What would start a ruckus on the boats?
Well, we was unloading somewheres and the boat would be coming up and we would try to get out ahead of him. We'd make the way like ahead of him where your turn went in, see? Mm-hmm. So we would,
both start up at the same time?
That's right. Then maybe when you got to the lock, you'd have a fight on your hands.
The mules ever take part in it?
Not hardly.
We started out by asking, come on. I told you,
Harry
here, how long he'd been on the canal, and then very unfortunately, I said, you liked it, didn't you? You tell him what you said to me.
Well, and speaking about the canal, I started...
No, you tell him just what you said to me. Right off the bat, you said you certainly didn't.
I certainly didn't know, because I couldn't do the work. I was too young. But after I got big enough,
what age
I could
did you
do
start
it.
At?
Six.
Look, really young.
First trip to New York. And I got homesick, and I was a long while getting over it. But as far as the work was concerned, after I got big enough and the eats, well, I was all right. Now, the way we used to eat was eggs for breakfast, and boiled beans for dinner, beans hooked for supper.
No more eggs?
No more eggs. But before you went to bed, why, we used to have a snack. Sometimes it'd be a can of tomatoes or a can of corn. I've had that many times. As far as eating was, I got along that way. But being away from home, my mother and the rest of the boys and kids, that's the reason I say I didn't like it. But I work along it today with the highway, and I see the banks when they're mowed up nice, and the way things look, so I do hate to see it go back. I would like to see something prosperous going on. And I don't think anything would tickle me better if I could see a boat going again, but I know if I did and it started up for to haul coal, why, I would be short of two men to work with, because they leave me. They tell me right off and it's done. But myself, really, I wouldn't care to do it because I like the job better what I got. I'm a great fellow for being home. I stay there, I have my time to eat, time to sleep, and time to work. And that's the reason I wouldn't like boating, because the hours are long. And you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and do your bit and keep things in shape and work till 10, and then wake up in the morning and maybe have 6 or 8 inches of water in the boat to pump out. Well, that ain't so nice. You want to go on. Particularly what I was felt so bad about, if you had arrangements made to get home and play with your playmates, and you know that you had time enough, 9 times out of 10 something would go wrong and you couldn't make it. Now that was mighty discouraging for a boy if he wasn't 18 or 20 years old. And that was the reason that I really didn't like the canal. But up till now, I would certainly and would very much like to see something done with it. In other words, they're doing fine if they only can keep it up. And I don't see why that there can't be some revenue derived from the work that time and money that's being spent.
Fine, that's fine, Dave.
Thank you
ever so much. You see, he ends up all right. I hoped he would. It's a signal. See, I got to say, Mr., because I forgot the first name. Frank. Frank really knows about maintenance on the canal. He never boated. But he knows what it means to keep the canal in shape so they could boat. And I guess he knows what it would mean to keep the canal in shape so we could boat and enjoy it. Your section was down around Yardley. That's part of the canal that we would like to see in nice condition, and we're going to see it in nice condition.
We've got water down there.
Clean water?
Yes.
Well, that's fine.
We had water down here.
Now, what are some of the things that make it difficult to keep a canal in shape? What's necessary? You have a canal in nice condition, a nice head of water in it, and then you get a heck of a rain for about 3 days.
And then you've got to be out on the job and take care of that extra water.
What is a section? What would your section be?
My section is 19 miles.
19 miles, and for 19 miles, what do you need to take in the way of having somebody there to look after it in case of a heavy rain? Do you need one man or two men or what?
Well, I got two men, but I look after water myself.
One man could do it?
I got four gates to tend to.
One man could do that 19 miles?
I do.
Well, you're just one man, Jeff.
I never called either man that I got working for me out.
Mm-hmm.
On the 17th of July, we had a cloudburst in Morrisville. I had to get an extra man out then, and because I had to do it quick.
Mm-hmm.
I had one man employed from Washington Crossing and the other in Bristol. And neither one of them could get to that gate in time to save that canal.
Yeah, is that section of 19 miles a fair example of the whole canal, or are there other districts which would require more?
Well, that's the only section of the canal that's got water in it.
Well, listen, just go back to the good old days when it had water in it, or look forward, hopefully, to the days when we hope to get water back in again. And it would be sort of nice to know from a man who really knows from experience what should be expected in the way of cost for maintenance. And it would do us good to know what we're asking for when we're asking to have the canal put back into navigable or at least usable condition. It would be nice for us to know what we're asking for. Now, above you come up 19 miles, and you come up how far? What is the...
From Washington's Crossing to Bristol.
Washington's Crossing to Bristol. Now, from Washington's Crossing up to New Hope.
There's no water.
Well, I know there's no water, but...
Crossing to New Hope, there's part water.
If there were water and it was in a normal condition, how many men would it be required to maintain that? I don't mean to operate locks and everything like that. I just mean to make it sure that it wouldn't wreck the canal.
Well, I think there's men enough to take care of it if they get out on the job.
Well, how many men are men enough? That's what I mean. One man,
well,
two men, three
section,
men?
Section man above me's got four men.
Yeah.
I got two.
Well, do they need four men up there?
Yes.
And then from New Hope on up the...
It's more hilly up here. It's more in wastegate, more... More,
yeah, and as you go, it gets a little more complicated up here.
On account of the hilly ground.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Had about enough, or do you want some more? More? Well, there's a whole lot more, but it's hard to get it started sometimes. This is blowing all over the place downstairs.
I've been on the canal study since 1903. I was with the Icola Navigation Company for 28 years and 10 months, 5 years with the state, then come back to the company again 5 years, and now back to the state. And I've lost about 3 months since 1903.
In all that time. Well, we owe what there is of the canal to you to a large extent down there. Now, don't back off just because I pay you a compliment, because that's coming to you.
You've got to tie yourself just like a dog's tied and not go away. You do, you're going to have bad luck. the canal.
How do you get that feeling?
I mean, your banks are going to leave you.
Yeah, how do you get that feeling about your job? Do you really, do you think you like that canal? I mean, do you think it's to...
Well, if I did, I wouldn't have been there.
Yeah, and it isn't... But it isn't just a job. You could have gotten a whole number of other jobs.
Oh, I think so.
But you do get to like it.
Yeah.
Of course, an artist can be feeble-minded and like a thing just because she likes to look at it.
But it needs a lot of attention right now. Everything is deteriorating. The only two monuments we got left is two aqueducts. One at Taylorsville,
yeah,
and one at Yardley. They're concrete. Mm-hmm. But Taylorsville needs a little attention pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it this morning, and it's weeping a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't stand cold, freezing and warm.
Well,
but that wants attention pretty soon. I'm going to report that. Just seen this morning.
Yeah. I think everybody that is in any official way connected with this canal are doing all they possibly can for it. You see, we're just one little part of the state, and the canal is a luxury. We have to grant that. But just how valuable the luxury is, another question. I think it's a very beautiful thing. I know I came out here just because the canal was good to look at.
That's where I live in London.
Yeah. I think a lot of us can give that answer, reason. I had something up my sleeve to ask you that you wouldn't shake off so easy, but I can't think of it right away.
What, are you scout party?
Huh?
He's a scout party man.
What's that mean?
Yeah, the scout parties.
What are the skull parties?
Skull
parties. Oh.
On barges.
Well, you wouldn't look down on him for that.
Oh, no.
That's the best we can do from now on.
In 1930, I had 18.
Yeah.
On my section.
Yeah.
I went with every one of them.
And this photograph...
In 1931, when the canal was abandoned in October...
That photograph...
I had 23.
23, yeah. You think there would be more of them if we have the canal in shape again?
I think it would be very nice.
Mm-hmm.
There have been taken in 1905.
Well, that's the photo. It's an awfully nice photograph. What have we got on him? Well, look, come on, you can tell him something I haven't heard before. What's the average useful lifetime of a mule?
Well, some of them live to be a good old age, and others, again, don't go so fast. So they live so long if they happen to get in the canal and get drowned.
Well, that could cut short any one career, but I still didn't get what I want to know is a mule an old mule at 10?
No.
You're pretty good at 10.
Mule age running around 20 or 25.
Good active service all that time.
Because
I just wondered, because some I saw come down the canal looked to me as if they'd been living a while and taking it all right. How long a day did you ever put in on the canal? Did you ever run all night?
Yes, I run all night. I started in the morning at 3 o'clock and kept it right up until 10 o'clock the next day. Now,
wasn't that against the rules?
No, they had no rules over on the canal.
Well, they printed some, didn't they? Oh, you're not responsible for that. See, the coal company duck out of any responsibility on the canal. But they did, yeah, they did have printed rules. I read them, but I suppose nobody else bothered with them. They were just written for history.
Yeah.
But when you went all night, how'd you work it? You had two men?
Only two of them.
Only two, yeah. Well, you didn't get an awful lot of rest.
No, we didn't. The mules either.
No. But was that pretty tough on the mules?
Yes, it's pretty hard to travel for a mule. But they seem to stand it.
Yeah.
But they're glad to take the rest when the time comes to quit.
Well, what made you run all night? What is the idea?
Well, lots of times they'd run to make a tow out of New Brunswick to New York. They'd run to get that tow.
What were they told?
Other times again that they would run all night in order to get home over Sunday.
What does the tow amount to? One tugboat taking how many?
Well, you take
about 30 boats. That must have been. What did you do? Not all one line. You banked up together, I guess.
Yeah, they were tiered together.
How many wide, about?
About four or five.
Five? Did you ever get into any dirty weather when you had 30 boats? That'd be five and six. So you had quite a mass of boats all together there. Anybody ever make a crossing like that and get in a storm?
Yes.
You did?
There's been.
Break up the boats, separate
yeah.
them.
I remember, I can't just recall the years. Probably Mr. Agnew here can. When the tow was broken up on New York Bay, and
I don't know the year, but there was 14 boats, 14 chunkers lost in that.
Yeah, they were lost in New York Bay.
Yeah, they swamped, and then the weight of the coal would sink them.
Yeah, well, it weighs.
Yeah, but I mean, if they once got full of water with a load of coal, they'd go down. They wouldn't. The wood wouldn't float the coal.
No.
I thought I read something like that. 14 and one. Pretty bad, wasn't it? Who's lost?
He's from out of
Philadelphia.
Oh, you're from out. How'd you lose a boat in Philadelphia? Come on up here. We so take it easy, so easy. I'm standing up all the time. Well, he was had a boatload of coal on for W.C. Kirk in Schuylkill River, and there was two boats aside of the tug leaving Gunner's Run, as we call it, Beaching Ball Avenue or Glass House. That's where they used to turn those.
How's it going by the gin mills?
Well, I don't know. This creek went out. And they left in the morning, I suppose, around 2 o'clock or three, and it was awful foggy. And when they got down around the B&O piers, my father said that the captain of the tugboat was named Sigafoos, Samuel Sigafoos. I don't know if he's any relation to this Sigafoos or not. But anyway, he said it was pretty dangerous, but they'd sneak along the dock. And when they got down to the B&O piers, the ferry that comes across from Gloucester to Philadelphia ran into them. And the one boat that was on the outside of my father's, that was cut deliberately in two. And the other one, my father's, was some of the lumber, he said, in the bow, went up in the air. And it was just light enough that he could see it. And of course, when she dove down and sank, why, my brother, all he got out of the cabin with was a new stern line. They're about thick as this. I think they run around, between 40 and 50 feet long, I would imagine. So speaking about to Mrs. Ory about the pictures tonight, I have that boat, 2188 Lewisburg boat. And that's the one that was just cleared. That is, he had that number taken off, which was paid for, and my sister's name, the Nellie Bridgeson, was put onto it. And that boat lays summers in or up below the B&O piers in the mud, if it's true what the captain said that he did, run it off on the shore. So I can show you those pictures, and I would appreciate it very much. Just give me a little time, and I'll see that you get that picture.
Fine.
And that is true from what I experienced. I wasn't on the boat at the time. I was with my brother. And speaking about the tow, we've run the 11-mile level, and of course, when you realize when you have, I heard a mention here tonight that the boats carried 100 ton now. When I boated, they did not. I think the biggest load that my father ever took, or either one of my brothers, was 98, 20, or 25 like that. But later on, the boats did carry the same better. And they used to run the 11-mile level in order the tows went were governed by the tide. And of course, if you wanted to make that tow, if you wanted to go down the 11-mile level, you got there at 10 o'clock at night below Yarleyville, and you wanted to get that tow at 2 o'clock in the morning, well, you was just out of luck. You couldn't do it. But if you was later than that, you could make it. That's the way the boats were, the running all night was concerned. And they used to take, in my time, five boats abreast, and there were three tiers of them long. I can remember that. I think I had pictures, but through moving and changing around from where I live now or where I used to live and where I live now, I suppose the children got a hold of them, destroyed them. But I had pictures of three tiers of boats, five boats wide. That was the reason that I was anxious to correct Mr. Frankfield's statement of seven. I never saw seven, although it could be.
You saw seven.
Yes, I'd be a good picture of course, when you go out of New Brunswick, but that was different than going to Boyd.
And speaking about getting to Philadelphia, if you went to Schuylkill, well, you would land at the Glass House, and then you would be taken there by a tug up the Schuylkill River.
And I know one time that I was scared. It was the first year that I run a boat for myself in 1908, and that was pretty good size. I unloaded it Jersey side, and it was near the ferry there. I can't recall the name of the place. When that captain, he'd give what they call the bells. They'd shake the bells, and that was all the speed that that tug was supposed to have. And I thought that that boat was going to go right through the dock, but the water wasn't deep enough, and she just went up like that and stopped. And we were about 75 feet from shore. And of course, the only thing you can do then is throw a small line that far or get somebody to row it to shore with a boat. And those are the experiences that I had, as I say, when I was real young. But after I got big, I understood them. That's why I said I wasn't afraid no more.
You know, there's a mercenary somebody in the audience, and they want to know what you fellas got for your coal per ton in New York. But you didn't sell the coal, did you?
No.
Who would answer that?
When I first bought it, you got 72 cents a ton for delivering it.
Yeah, you just got it for handling it. They didn't sell the coal.
Oh, I don't know what people
say. Well, look, there's one thing I think the women would all be very much interested in. Your living quarters. And how do you wash your clothes? I know you did.
Well, you didn't wash many clothes.
Now, listen, you sure you washed them. Yeah, but
your living quarters, your boat is 11 foot wide.
Yeah.
And you have 6 foot taken off the back end of the cabin.
Hmm. I've been in the morning.
Your bunks is on the side, your little table there, and if you have a change of clothes, you let home and let your mother wash them. Then you wash them.
You didn't have a change
of clothes. You didn't have a change of clothes, you do like I've done it many times.
They go and take a swim, wouldn't you?
No, you'd wash them and set out in the sun, dry yourself till they got on you.
John, I never saw a boat going down the river with a fellow washing his clothes then.
You haven't been well as any boat.
Only from the shore, huh? Well, now look, how'd you make out, really, on cooking and all that kind of thing?
Well, you had a little stove out in the middle of the boat. And you cooked whatever you had. Mm-hmm. Harry said you had beans for supper. Well, that was everybody's liking. My father would never let us eat beans for supper.
He didn't like beans so much.
But we had a cooked meal. We didn't have that for supper. We had something else. Our main dish was ham and eggs.
Did chickens ever fly onto a boat by any chance?
Well, not for two hands of anyone.
I've heard about that. I've heard that for some reason or other, the chickens had the funniest habit of flying right over close to the boat when you just...
They do, you know.
Yeah. And the watermelons, they had a way of growing right down close to the edge of it.
Well, I never so much on watermelon.
But they were handy.
I remember down at an old farm, I don't remember his name. Here,
sweet corn.
I know it was sweet enough. But I brought a man with the name of George Marker, one of the boats with my father. And I went over the bank and I fished up 7 years.
Just right along by the...
She went over here and set a bridge.
Yeah.
The farmer stood on the bridge. He says, "Sonny, how many years you got?" "By 7. Turn me around and give me 7 good kicks."
Oh, right. Jacob, who's here, never had the proud distinction of working on a boat, but he had probably just as proud a distinction of keeping the canal working so that they could boat. Mr. Sigafoos.
My name? Yeah. I'm Frank Sigafoos of Yardley, Pennsylvania. I've been employed on the canal since 1903 with the Lehigh Coal and Navigation Company. 28 years and 10 months, then 5 years with the state, and then back to the company as it was returned to the company, 5 years, and now back to the state, up to the present time. I'm a maintenance man from Washington's Crossing to Bristol, and still have water in the canal in that end.
Well, I think we've got another canal man. Huh? Yeah, you've still got plenty of time, haven't you? Yeah. John. You know, I used to watch your father and you boat some years ago. I wonder how long ago that was, when you stabled your mules in the barn up by the Cuttalosa. You lived up in Lumberville at the time.
How many years ago was that?
Well, that's been about 32 years ago.
Well, I want to tell you something. About 32 years ago, your father broke my heart. You know what he did?
What'd he do?
Well, at the end of the season, he took all that mule when you were away. And you cured with a dime?
That's right.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me, but
well,
let's hear it.
I've never done it, but my uncle does.
See? All right, let's hear about it.
Well, we got a lock called Freemansburg one day, Freemansburg Lock. And the mule was lame, was Sweeney. That's what they call Sweeney.
The name is Sweeney?
No, that's what they call the lameness, was Sweeney, see?
Uh-huh.
So he jumped out, took a penknife, cut a hole in his shoulder, stuck the dime in there, and I guess the dime was still in there until the mule died.
That's the funniest kind of slot machine I ever heard of.
Yeah, but that cured the lameness.
It did? That hit the jackpot.
Well, I'll be gold darned.
To John, so long.
It's a little far away. I think it's
going to...
You're
going to?
Yeah, how long the life of a mule was.
Yeah, how long is the life of a mule?
There's a mule living right close to me that I drove.
Yeah.
I got him over here in Lambertsville off of Jesse Mason. Probably know Jesse Mason.
Oh, I know Jesse.
Well,
sure, I know Jesse.
There's where I bought him, a team of grays. There's one in 11 years.
How long ago did you buy him?
In 30, I guess.
They were good mules, he sold you.
Yes, it was. John knows them. Winters knows
them.